this morning we're going to look at God, the life with God. This is the centerpiece. This is the, everything is about that. There's no life, there's no with, if there's no God. It's based in the fact that God exists and He eagerly desires relationship with us. He wants us to be all in with Him. And there's no better place. Like, Josh, coming across the world without my kids sucks. Coming with them sucks, but it sucks worse to not be with them. We had the conversation, Terry and I. Okay, should we take the kids here? Should we take the kids there? And it's worse to not be together. That's God. Okay, sometimes you're going through the grub, dreary, dark, dirty, stinky parts of life. But man, when it's with God, it's much better than going through the same garbage without Him. And the reality is we're going through it. Hello? We're all walking through it. You walk through whatever the issues are. It might be infertility. It might be family breakups. It might be pain and illness and disease and financial stress, family stress, wayward children, educational problems, loss of employment. You walk through it and you're shaking. And the only way to stand is with God. And so let's capture the reality of God. Let's not miss Him. Let's not miss the fullness of His image. Because we can be attracted to certain points about God. But we sometimes miss the wholeness of who He is. Not just the characteristics, not just some of the attributes, but who He is and His heart for us and His desire to lead us day by day. We shared the last few days or a few sessions over the last day and a half, whatever it was, just some of the glimpses of our story, because I don't want you to think that I stand here with everything figured out. I stand here as one still walking with Christ, desiring to see the fullness of His image developed in me and in His church. Desiring to see that I'm not a roadblock to other people, but I'm a sign pointing people to Jesus Christ. It's only because of God. So I want to just look briefly, at three passages. If you have your Bibles, let's start in Exodus chapter 20. We all know the Ten Commandments. And sometimes we go into the bottom 5, 6 commandments. We like to get into the relational components of the commandments. But all of those commandments stem from the first commandment. And he says this, I am, verse 2 of chapter 20 of Exodus, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. He's identifying himself and he's laying out how he has intervened in their life. Sometimes we don't remember how God has intervened in our life. Do you remember the old song, Count Your Blessings, Name Them One by One? When's the last time you did that? We just keep asking for something new. Hey, I got this problem, God. Hey, I got this problem, God. Hey, I got this problem. And we don't take time to look back. And here is how God starts to reveal His holiness. The Ten Commandments reveals the holiness of God. And how He starts is not, I am this great holy being, but I am the God who got into your situation and brought you out of bondage. That's who I am. And as a result, verse 3, you shall have no other gods before me. I am primary because I care for you more than anybody else. You capture that reality? I am primary because nobody else has brought you into the world. Nobody else has brought you freedom. Nobody else is taking care of those situations. We say, well, if this would have changed or that would have changed, what if something else would have gone the wrong way? Sometimes we don't look back and see the history of God. I want Terry to share a few more glimpses of our story. Specifically the story of Timothy and Bethany. See, we look back at history and we don't often see the fingerprint of God in our own life. Come on up there. But here's a story that as we started to pick up the details, we caught the fingerprints of Almighty God and His care for two little kids. Now my kids. There.
Yeah, thank you. Just not exactly sure where to start in this whole process. But,
in Owosa.
When the adoption was basically complete, we had all the documentation, everything done. It was all in Amharic, and everything has to get translated into English and Amharic to go to the courts and all that good jazz. But as we started to look over the paperwork, and friends of ours were reading the statements from the people that found them, we learned a lot of information, well, as much information as there was to learn about them at the time. Bethany and Timothy were found abandoned on the side of the street in a small town called Owosa. They were discovered around 7:30 at night, so the sun was just going down, and they were each of them wrapped in a little towel placed on the side of the road next to a metal sheet fence. And the lady that found them was on her way to the supermarket, the little shop, to buy some supplies, and heard Betty crying because her foot had come out from the towel and was scratching the fence. And so she heard something. She went to look at them and found these two little babies side by side, wrapped in towels, surrounded by a pack of dogs. And people are like, oh. But the wording in Amharic is kind of vague. It's not a very descriptive language. But our friends that translated it for us said it gives the impression that they were being guarded because she couldn't get the dogs away. And in that town, there's a lot of flesh-eating storks. They're like vulture-type things. They can stand as high as 6 feet by the lake there. And so it was like they were being protected. And so she had to go and call the police, and they came and they chased the dogs away and rescued the babies and registered them, and then went through the whole process of trying to find who they belonged to, and they couldn't find anybody, and then they signed the paperwork over that they can be adopted because they don't have anyone. But in that whole process, they were protected. And amazingly, when we adopted them and brought them home, the first birthday in Ethiopia is a very big deal. It's like throwing a 15th birthday in Latin America, or a sweet 16 here, or 18. It's like a big deal in Ethiopia. And so we thought we better throw this first birthday party. And we wanted to wait for Mom and Dad because they missed us bringing the kids home by about 10 days because they were back for Nikki's wedding. And the day we threw it, okay, mm-hmm. We weren't thinking about it, was the day they were rescued, the day that they were found. And so their birthday is actually the day after mine. That's the day they were found. I mean, backdated a month after they were found. They were expected to be a month old. And amazingly, that's September 26th. On September 30th, the year that they were born was the day Jeremy first said to me, you know what, I think God's calling us to adopt. And so we kind of laugh when we look at that date because we're like, maybe they were born on the 26th of September, but maybe they were born on the 30th of September when Jeremy said, you know what? I think God's calling us to adopt. But anyway, God's amazing miracles.
See, our God is a God that cares about every detail of your life. From that moment of birth, from that difficult situation that you don't even remember, God was reaching out to you. The pain that you suffered, God knows that. If we turn to Revelation chapter 1 verse 8, I'm not finished. I'm coming back there. I am the Alpha and the Omega. And we always, yeah. Says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I've been fascinated by this passage for a number of years, but specifically that God, the creator of time, places himself into our time. You think about that? We often talk about God and how does he interact with time, and we have great debates in theological circles about time and when God knows certain things, and we lose the reality that God exists outside of time. And so in your past and your pain, the difficulties you've endured, the suffering that's happened to you, whatever the circumstance, God was with you. Say, why did God let this happen? God loves you and has been walking with you to protect you and has brought you to this place that today he can continue to walk with you. We don't have all the answers. Are we together? But what do we have? We have God. The God who was. So we all have a history. If we took time, like Josh, we could all tell the stories of this encounter, of this encounter, of a teddy bear encounter. Who would remember a teddy bear encounter? Somebody whose life was touched by it. Hello? We look around all around us and we see people. We don't think about their encounters. That's their story. That's the history. And God was there. The God who was. And every time I see Tim and Betty, they're not defined by being on the side of the road at 7:30 at night on October 26th of 2012. That's not their definition. Do you hear me? That doesn't define them. They're my kids. They're not defined by their past. Guys, we're not defined by our past. We have a God. The God who was, walked with us in our past. Whatever garbage you had to endure. Whatever difficulties you've suffered. Whatever losses, pains. He's not restricted by time. And he's walked with you. What could have happened if it went the other way? God wasn't with you. Do you ever think about those things? No, we think that God didn't take care of us enough. Hello? This is the God who loves us. If we look back to Hebrews, we're coming back to Revelation, so don't take off. But Hebrews chapter 1. This verse captivates time and God's interaction. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets in many portions and many ways, verse 2 of Hebrews chapter 1, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son. Capture that reality? We have something so unique that the past didn't have. We have Christ. We have something more unique than the disciples even had. You understand that? Because sometimes we hear people, we want to go back and be like the disciples to like be with Jesus. But what does Jesus say to the disciples? It's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, I cannot send you the helper. Hello? Could you imagine? We can't think of that, can we? We think like it's better to be with Jesus. And yet Jesus is saying it's to your advantage that I go. Because if I don't go, the Holy Spirit can't come. Do we think that's advantageous? We've got something amazing. Greater than they had in the past. We've got something present. The reality of a resurrected Christ who fills us with his Holy Spirit. He empowers us. He quickens us. Ooh, we have a life. We have a life with the community of Christ. We have a life with God. I get excited by that in case you didn't notice. This is something that it's worth getting up. It's worth doing something with my life. I don't want to sit on the sidelines because now I've got something precious like kids. And the rest of it, it doesn't matter. No, I want my kids to get the reality that what I've got, they can have even better. Amen. I'm doing things my dad couldn't do. I've got a great foundation. Because of that foundation, I can do more. I want my kids, because I stand on the foundation of my family and our parents. And they made a stand in both their families. Brian, in their family, Val, my parents, all of them had to make a stand. And we stand on their foundation. And I want our kids to stand on our foundation. That what we've done is just small in comparison to what they're going to do for Christ. Yeah. Right? We have the God who was. You have your story. God knows your pain. God doesn't want to leave you in that. God wants to do a work in that. But He's waiting for you to join Him. And that's the God who is. Come back to Revelation. The Alpha and the Omega, who is, simple words. Now, I don't want to spend 6 months on who is, but think about that. Like, God, who is, not who is this. He is. Are we together? He is. I am the Alpha and the Omega, who is. Guys, we have a past, but we also have a present. And with the present, it's today. Whatever moment you read that, it's today. It's right now. And with the present comes responsibility, opportunity. Yes? That's it. We have something. We've been entrusted, not just with the past where God has worked, the God who was, but we have a present with the God who is. He's with us. He's walking with us. He's inviting us in. See God. What Len said earlier. Blessed are the pure in heart. They will see God. I want to see God. Not just in one glimpsing moment. We sometimes celebrate Moses. Saw God. You know, hid in the cleft of the rock and saw as God passed by. We go, wow! If we could just... I don't want that. I want more than that. I don't want a passing glimpse of God from my life. I want the continual relationship walking with Almighty God. Yes? The God who is. We have this present. It's beautiful. It's responsibility. It's maybe heavy. Maybe a little bit. Because when there's responsibility, we have accountability. God entrusts us with something. And we can waste our days doing nothing. I've got friends, and they're not like 15 years old, they're like 40 years old, who are addicted to video games. That's their life. Think, the God who is gave you life to play video games? We got really quiet. Maybe there's some addictions here. It's the reality. We're not been given life just to go and sit on a log or sit on our TV or couch with our TV and get our thumbs some gaming action. We've been given life with responsibility. And so Paul says it this way in Galatians chapter 6. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, this also will he reap. Whew. And so with this God who is, life with God, the God who is, there's great responsibility. He goes on in that same passage of Galatians 6, verse 8. For the one who sows to his flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. And the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. So this God who is gives us the opportunity, the responsibility. Hey, I've entrusted you with something very special. A treasure. As Paul says, it's treasure in jars of clay. The Holy Spirit has been given to us. Not so that we can go and have a hallelujah time in the corner or make a whole bunch of money in a corner or play a whole bunch of video games or whatever it is that wastes our life. or fun or whatever your source of joy and pleasure in the corner is. He's given it to us for life. So that we take the responsibility we've been given and we do something. What is it that God's asking you to do? Because He's not asking you to sit on the sidelines. Regardless of your age. Regardless of your age. Regardless of your family situation. It's interesting for Teresa and I as we travel to many churches. And we often are speaking on mission. Speaking on people engaging the lost. Going out to meet and touch those who have no access to Christ. Those who, there's no church. Come on, guys. And people will, almost every church come up and tell us the excuses. But it doesn't start with the excuses. It starts coming up with, I had a call. I hear that, I get excited. Not so much anymore, but at the beginning I got really excited. You know, I had a call. And I was like, yeah, man, what do you do? Well, and then comes the excuse. You know, well, you know, I had a property, I had a family, I had, you know, and then this and that. And, well, I couldn't take my kids and I couldn't. And by the end of it, like, you missed the call. You had the responsibility given to you by the God who is. He said, come on, let's do this. I'm inviting you to be with me in my ministry. To serve me in this way. And he said, I'd rather not. I'd rather focus on something else. And distracted from the reality. Look at David. The call of God on David. When he comes to him and Samuel pours oil. Do you think David's saying like, woo-hoo-hoo! Was David realizing, okay, I've been invited to something, I don't know what it is. The magnitude of this is great. When I said yes, I did not know what it was going to cost. You know, really. I didn't expect all the costs that are going to come in life. God said, say yes. He said, am I willing to put my life down? Yep. Okay, here we go. There's financial cost. There's relational cost. There's family. You know family? There's a family cost. But it's the invitation from the God who is. And we talked yesterday night about relationship. There's no relationship without trust. Had an interesting conversation with Brad this morning about telling other people about Jesus. That we need to do more than just be a nice guy and somehow they're going to know about Jesus because we're a nice guy. We have to present and invite them. They have to know who Jesus is. I'm flying from Toronto to Edmonton. And I'm on a plane and I get on a plane. I don't want to talk to somebody. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's just... I just want to sit down and just... So, I get beside this guy and... He puts his earphones in and I'm like, okay, good. And then as we're going along, he's ordering more and more drinks. You know, that's only a 3.5 hour flight and he's had 5 vodkas and cokes and spent almost $100. And we're coming in to land. We're about 10 minutes out and he takes out his earphones and he turns to me. You know, when the guy beside you is going to talk to you on the plane. And he turns and he says, what do you do? So I said, I'm a minister. Is that like Catholic priest? Sort of, yeah. You know, just very down tone. Yeah. So are you like Catholic? And he's very loud. I'm trying to be careful because of the microphone. And I said, no, we're Pentecostal. So is that like Catholic? And I said, well... You're not going to back away, so I guess I just got to tell you. And so with similar volume to his quiet tone, said, we believe in Jesus Christ, who came to earth born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, died on a cross, rose from the grave, to conquer sin, death, and the grave. He could not comprehend what I was saying. His only response was, "Do you know Yoda?" And I had no clue what he's talking about. So I was just like, no. And I'm trying not to laugh because he's so serious. And he says, "I believe in Yoda." And we're not talking about a 15-year-old. We're talking about a guy in his mid-40s with kids who's been twice divorced. We have a community. We have a society. They don't know who Jesus is. That's our responsibility now. The God who is saying, come on, right now. This is our responsibility. You are entrusted with the very special, holy, amazing Word of God. Jesus Christ fills you with His Holy Spirit. Not to sit on the sidelines, but to take His responsibility, stewarding what He's entrusted to us today. Not for some other day, for today. And so the challenge is, don't be deceived. What you do is what you will produce. If you sow weeds, don't think you're going to go and get great mangoes. You know what I mean? It's impossible. And so sometimes we become very lazy. We like to procrastinate a bit. And just take it out of our spiritual realm for a second and just put it into the natural realm. Where if the farmer procrastinates, what happens? No harvest, no produce, nothing, right? Imagine, I'm going to play in the spring. And I'm going to go on holidays in the summer. And in the fall, I'm going to harvest. We all understand it's ludicrous. How could you even be so silly as to think that? But somehow we think we can waste some of our years with the God who is and think it's not going to impact us. We are going to reap what we sow. We pray for that blessing, we get the blessing, and it pulls us away from God. Just what you said. That blessing might be a kid, it might be a boat, it might be a house, might be whatever. Start chasing after it. Now we got to feed it. Yeah? Feeding your kids is not easy. Chasing after your kids is not easy. Feeding your house is not easy. Right? Feeding the boat. Right? Whatever it is, it's not easy. It becomes the God before God. But I brought you out of slavery. I am the Lord your God. I've done this for your life. Have no other gods before me. Do we think about what God's done? The God who was, has set us free, has brought us this far, has provided us what we have, the very blessings that we prayed. We fasted, we cried, we asked God for. And then the God who is saying, come on, continue with me. Continue with me. I am the Lord who brought you X, Y, Z. The God who is. It's our responsibility. Paul puts it this way in Romans 8. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. Is that too strong on Sunday morning? But if you put to death by the Spirit the deeds of the body, you will live. It's a choice. How do you steward the God who is? Because He's working in your life. He wants a part of you. The whole part. You know, the top half of your cup, not the bottom half. God doesn't want a piece of us. The whole. How are we going to steward what He's entrusted to us? We only have one life. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But what I do know is the God who was and the God who is will be there tomorrow. The God who is to come. That's the hope I have. I don't know what tomorrow brings. So, speaking yesterday morning, I referred to Matthew chapter 6. Why worry? Why be anxious? We get ourselves all worked into knots or worried about tomorrow. Yeah? That happens to me sometimes. But what are we going to do? What about? The God who brought us out of slavery. The God who has been with you through every circumstance. You're still breathing. God's been working. Yes? There's still life. God's been working. God continues to work. That God is already in tomorrow. And what is to come, God is there. What will unfold, God is there. And when we get there, we're there still with the same people we've been walking with. You see, sometimes we expect everything's going to change by tomorrow. It's why we pray for these specific things. If we just could have kids, everything would be better. And then you have kids and you don't sleep and you're stressed and you're frustrated. And then you got to worry about education. Then you got to worry about their diapers. And then, if I just had kids, it would be, That's a summary of the last 5 years. Where's the sleep? Right? Especially for Terry. You know, I can sleep. I'm a stone. You put my head down, I'm gone. But young mothers crying out for this created purpose. Oh, the pain. And then God answers. And then the pain. The God who's brought us this far is working today with us. Not to procrastinate for another day, but for today. And when tomorrow comes, there's another opportunity. Because God is there. And the God is looking for us, carrying out, setting before us new opportunities. Sometimes we get centered on my place in it. It's very interesting what we often focus on is the benefit for me. Yes? Especially as we look to the future. The opportunity. God's calling us to something. Come on. Come on. And we start to see ourselves as the centerpiece. Has that ever happened to you? I'm the centerpiece of God's story. No, it's upside down. God's the centerpiece. He's inviting me to participate with Him. He's saying, come on, join with us. And so, don't think you're going to serve God's purposes in 4 years once you get through this difficult season. If you're not serving God's purposes now, you're not going to serve His purposes later. If you're not ready to make the sacrifice today, you're not going to make it in 4 years because it's going to be even harder then. Yes? And David served the purposes of God in his generation and then he died. That's what Acts 13 tells us. He served the purposes of God. That's what I want to happen for me. That's what I want to happen for you. Serve God's purpose and die. You're still breathing. You still should be serving. When you're dead, you're done. Whether that's 30, 60, 90, 120, whatever the age, or anywhere in between. And what I said yesterday in Philippians 3, I press toward the goal to win the prize for which Christ has called me, God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I press toward the goal. I'm striving at it. I'm pushing on. I'm not sitting back. The God who is giving me grace today. Not just to cover up the past. See, sometimes we see grace just as a reverse looking. No. Grace is forward looking. To build us, to see more of the image of Christ formed in us, more power released through us. That's God's grace. God's empowerment. He forgives our sins, He cleanses us, and then He releases us with new power. So we're not doing it in our own strength. We're doing it in His strength because we are a new creation. How does a new creation continue to live in the old life? It's unthinkable, isn't it? Can the butterfly go on back to be the caterpillar? I think you're crazy. How can we, who have been made new by the Spirit of God, go back? Instead of looking back, let's look forward. God, where are you calling us? And we often, people say, you know, dream big dreams for God. Okay, I hear the sentiment, but it's weak. Because in your big dream, you are the center. Isn't that what happens? This is the role I'm going to play for God. This is where I'm going to be. And I'm going to be the big person on the big stage or the big... I'm the centerpiece. But when God calls, He's the centerpiece. And you're feeding in, you're building in by His grace, so it's all from Him. And you are employing His grace to build His kingdom. And so Josh, when you blessed Len, it's not about you. There's something bigger that you're pushing on. It's exactly right. That's the evidence of a call. When it ends at me, it's the evidence of my dream. And what happens when we get to our dream and we're not fulfilled? Despair. Discouragement. Frustration. What happens when we join with God in His call? God directs our steps. He leads us day by day. He walks and talks and builds us up. And we have a great view of God. What happens when we chase our dreams? I got a great view of me. Especially my belly button where I'm looking at my center. That's what happens, right? We get focused on ourselves. If you're looking too much at yourself, you need to look up. Because that's our danger. And as we look to the future, the God who is to come, we could go for hours talking about the future and the eternity. And No. What about tomorrow? God's there. Next weekend. This whole summer. The next 6 months or the next year, the next 2 years. What is it that God is inviting you? Maybe it's to the 17th at 6:30 p.m. Is that the time I hear? Yeah. Maybe. Maybe that's the invitation. Hey, the God who is to come has an opportunity. He's not going to grab you and, come on, are you? Come over here. I'm going to smack you upside the head. That's not God. He's saying, come. Come on. Come on, guys. Let's go somewhere. And when you're going with Him. He's not just sending you out as some random thing. I have a pattern of getting people motivated for something. So we were in Kenya for some meetings, and they were coming from all over Africa, and there was a late night soccer game in the Euro Championships. And so I was getting everybody motivated. Hey guys, are we going to watch the game? We're going to watch the game. This is like the championship game is on, and it's 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock at night. And so everybody's like, oh yeah, you know, we got to be up early. No, come on, man. This is great. And we had about 30 guys all gathered in the TV room to watch the game, and I went to sleep. That's not God. He doesn't just organize it and say, okay, go guys. He's walking with you. See, we can sometimes get our eyes, whoa, that Jeremy, what a crazy guy. How could he get us all there and not show up himself? Yeah? Community. And what happens? We turn away from God. Because instead of saying we're following Len as he follows Christ, we say, Christ let me down because Len didn't show up. The God who is to come is there. We have a history. That's our past. That doesn't define us, but it has shaped us. We have experienced things different from other people. And God has been with us in our past. Where there is pain, God wants to continue to do a healing. God wants to, but you have to open up. God's not going to heal you and just go, okay, everything's fine. It's a part of the process of growing. Have you walked through pain? If you're alive, you've walked through pain. That's our history. It's not bad. It's not good. It is. And God has been working. And today is our present. It's a day of responsibility. The God who is walking with us. And He wants to have us serve into His purpose. The God who is to come is our opportunity. Over 20 years, how you handle our responsibility is what you're going to see your opportunity fulfilled or failed. It's going to be either written, your name served the purposes of God and died, or your name lived and died. You know what's sad when you see a gravestone that has no inscription? Just the dates. And then you see something about this person that was a model and a leader and a father. It inspires me. There's others who have gone before. Everybody perfect? Nope. Nobody's perfect. Not even Russell, who's like close, but we all have flaws. We're not looking to the individuals around to represent God. They're there to point us to God. The God who was, the God who is, and the God who is to come. That's the God that we're serving with. What's striking to me is how much we center on ourselves in this life with God. Instead of on connectivity. When I focus on myself, I'm not a great husband to Terry. It's a reality. Because I can't love well when I'm self-centered. Yes? And so my last little pokes, little spurs, life with God. Go all in. Two questions. What's your responsibility today? It's not the same as anybody else's. We don't all have the same responsibilities. There's not the right Christian answer. There's the answer of what God has asked you to do today. You can procrastinate and maybe God asks you again tomorrow and again and again and again until the hardness of your heart makes you dull of hearing. But today, what is your great responsibility? Not something you dreamed up. Not something you want to do. What is it that God's asking you to do? Because this life with God is not just a life of passivity. It's not sitting on the sidelines and watching it happen. It's actually lived out in activities and actions and daily practices. What's your responsibility today? There maybe needs to be choices made. There maybe needs to be previous choices that you renounce. Hey, I've walked too long in this. That needs to be eliminated from my life. In order to fulfill the responsibility of God. Because we can all get distracted. Yes? I get distracted. What's your responsibility? What is God's call for your future? What is it that God has spoken to you? See, those two are connected. The opportunity is the result of faithfulness in our responsibility. If you want to be a master carpenter, you don't go and become a plumber. Am I right? Just doesn't seem to work. You're not going to go study theology to go and be a parliament member. You're not going to become a lawyer to go and work in Fort McMurray in the oil fields. Yes? Your decisions today are building towards the fullness of God's call. Our responsibility brings us to fulfill God's call and opportunity in our life. It's not just an opportunity you create in your mind. It's the opportunity to join with Christ in something of eternal value. whatever that is. That's the invitation. This life with God, it's not easy. To actually have life to the full. Hey, all in life. All in community. All in with God. Are you there? Or is it Sunday morning and we've got to get everything finished and then we're already back to Edmonton? See, God's already in the future, but you don't need to be. You need to be in the present. We can spend a lot of time thinking about the future, and waste a whole bunch of energy and never live today. Don't get stuck dreaming about the opportunity and lose the opportunity today to carry out the responsibility God has given to you. Because that's what builds you to the person that God has called you to be. Will you bow your heads with me this morning?